friends and listeners, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we declare, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, we must work together to win the lost. And I'm excited to tell you that today's message is exactly the tools you need to be an effectual witness of the gospel to unbelievers, sinners, and backsliders. The Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit fast and furiously over a 2-day period, and I believe it reveals great truths on how we can reach the unsaved. It is entitled, 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. I know you're going to want this CD, so I'll be back at the end to tell you how to order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved.
So Jesus had to speak a tough thing to him. It was not meant to hurt him, but it was to show him that money was his God and that he was trusting in his own goodness because he wanted to know how he was going to inherit eternal life. And that means go to heaven. So he was trusting in his own goodness that that was going to get him in. And I want to tell you that there are millions of people today that are in the same boat. They're trusting in their own goodness. But let me tell you something. Jesus only came to save sinners. He didn't come to save so-called good people. Before you can be saved, you've got to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. So that means that you have got to receive from Jesus, because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how many know we will definitely boast like he did? Titus 3:5 said that it's not by works of righteousness that he has saved us, but by his mercy, he has washed us and regenerated us by the washing of the water. Amen. It's his mercy, nothing that we've done. So I don't care if you are a good person compared to that person or compared to this person. I ask you, who wants to be the best sinner that goes to hell? So if everybody on your job calls you good, in your family, in your community, if they give you an award for humanitarian goodness, you are a great person. And they put your picture on the front page of the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times and the Washington Post and all of that. And everybody knows you're a good person according to the standards of the world. But you do not know Jesus. You might be the best sinner that goes to hell. But I don't want that prize, do you? That's one prize somebody else can have. Amen? So, first of all, we see that they are deceived because of blindness. Amen? They're spiritually blind. All right. Now, number two, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have people, the truth be told, they do not want to give up their sinful lives. They're not ready to quit sinning. Amen? Turn with me to John, the third chapter. John 3:16, we all know that. We'll start there and we'll keep going. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love the gospel because it's a whosoever gospel, yeah, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now here's the condemnation. He explains it. That light has come into the world. Who is the light? Jesus said, I'm the light. Light has come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light. They have chosen darkness over light. They have chosen darkness over Jesus Christ because their deeds were evil, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Why? That is because he hates the light and neither will come to the light, because his deeds should be reproved, or his deeds will be exposed and shown to be what they are, evil. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus says that there are people that love darkness because they're not ready to give up their sin. They're not ready to quit sinning. And let me tell you something, sin grows in darkness. That's why if there's sin in your life, you're going to have to bring it to the light. And if you're an honest-hearted person, then Jesus will shine the light of his truth. Amen. But see, what the problem with some is, they don't want to give up their sin yet. Because the light of truth reproves the wicked. But I like the other end of it. It also reveals the righteous. I love the light. Shine on me, Jesus. Shine on your people. Amen. The only people afraid to come to the light, the only people that are afraid to sometimes to go to church is because they're afraid the light's going to shine in their dark heart. And they're not ready to give up their sin. And that's a shame. Turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The stuff that goes on in the darkness, it's a shame. It would make you blush to even speak of it. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So what he is saying is, people that don't want to get right and don't want to give up their sin, they will not come to the truth. And what happens then is they go in deeper darkness and greater blindness. Amen? And listen to this. Paul said, don't turn there, but Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. So the second group of people that are blinded is they don't want to come to the light because they're not willing to give up their sin because they still have pleasure in their sin. Amen? This leads us to the next group of people that are blinded. These people obviously have no fear of God. No fear of God at all. Now, even Christians, I'm not going to dwell on this a lot because I don't want to get off my track, but even Christians have a healthy fear of God. We don't fear him in the sense that we're afraid of him, that he's going to hurt us or judge us. We fear him in the sense that we know he's a holy God. And we don't trivialize the things of God. Amen. We realize that he's a holy God and we treat him with a healthy, holy respect. But we don't have a spirit of fear about God. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind and a mind of power. But there's a healthy fear of God. Let me tell you something. Do you know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God on this earth, had a fear of God? Because it tells you in Isaiah, and I can't remember what chapter it is off the top of my head, but it says that he was anointed with seven things: wisdom and knowledge, counsel and might, revelation, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. You see, because Jesus, the Son of God, in his fleshly habitat on earth, he had the fear of God. Amen? And so the Bible says, and I'm going to quote these, and you can just take notes, Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I mean, I think that's about as succinct as you can put it. Where the fear of the Lord is, people get out of evil. Amen? Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool is confident in his rage against God. Amen? People who do not fear God are fools. That's the true definition of a fool. Amen? Not somebody who doesn't have a high IQ. We're talking about someone who does not fear God. Psalm 14:1, the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. And when people have no fear of God, here's the outcome. There is no restraint on them. They have nothing to restrain them from evil. Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Again, this is Romans 3. Paul, though, is quoting from Psalms and Proverbs. But we'll read what Paul said because he's looking back. He's reaching into the old covenant and bringing it in where it belongs up to date. Amen? So Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They have all gone perverse and crooked. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now listen to how he describes them. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what an open sepulcher is? It's a place where you're burying somebody. But it's open so you can look in and see the rotting corpse. That's what their throat is like. Their tongues, they use deceit. The poison of asps. What is an asp? It's a poisonous snake, like a cobra. Is in under their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. How much cursing is around us everywhere? My God, you can't stand in the line at Walmart trying to wait for your turn with people cursing in front of you, people cursing behind you. Amen. And they're just doing it like it's just normal. Amen. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, in the way of peace. Have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. When people don't have any fear of God, there's no restraint what they'll do. They can shoot somebody in cold blood, murder, and drive to McDonald's and go get sit down and eat a cheeseburger and talk about the Steelers and the Packers. I want to make sure you're awake. That was not in my note. Amen? But there's no restraining them what they will do. You see, that's why Jude said, when you're dealing with sinners, on some have compassion. You don't have to beat some people over the head with the Bible with fear, because they have a very tender heart. Even though they may not be born again, they can still have a tender heart. And you can deal with them accordingly. He said, but on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are stained by the flesh. Some people say, are you trying to scare me? Yes, I am. I'm trying to scare you out of hell. If I can scare you out of hell, I'll scare you out. That was Jude 23. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. You have to persuade some with the terror of God. What am I talking about? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen? And let me read to you 2 Thessalonians 1:8 through 9. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen? And this is what he's going to do in the day of judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Surely the Holy Spirit has birthed this word into our hearts so we can be able and effectual witnesses and ministers of the New Testament. I believe you can discern the spirit of conviction that was upon the delivery as these truths penetrated the hearts of the hearers, shedding light in dark places and peeling away layers of resistance. It also serves to enlighten us how to deal with hard cases when witnessing of Christ. Paul said that Satan is a mind blinder, and he uses these 8 strategies to keep people from getting saved. Number 1, I'm a good person. Number 2, they're not ready to give up sin. Number 3, no fear of God. Number 4, no fear of hell. Number 5, I've got plenty of time. Number 6, the fear of man. Number 7, too many hypocrites. And number 8, I just can't live this Christian life. Every point is scripturally supported. There's enough anointed ammunition in this teaching to prepare you to be a powerful soul winner. You can order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved on CD for a love gift of $10. Ask for order SK151. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 151. Send your gift of $10 or more to help us pay for radio time to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. You may also order online at rghardy.org. There you will find many other spiritual resources by my dad, Brother Hardy, and myself. The mailing address, again, is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, Maranatha.